It's going to be a great day, isn't it, when Jesus comes back. Everything is going to be resolved and taken care of, finally, forever. That's going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to it. Well, one of the first lessons that I was taught when I was learning how to drive a vehicle was to be on the alert. You, after all, need to be sure you're not running over your dad who's trying to teach you how to drive, or whoever it was. You have to know how to work that machine and take care of it and get it to go where you want it to do. Vigilant attention has to be paid to manage the motions, watch the sensors on your vehicle, plus observing and predicting the action of other vehicles moving around you. Which way are they going? Are they coming my way, their way? The people, pedestrians, dogs, cats running around, bears, antelope, whatever, in whatever area you are in. You got to watch everything around you and be on the alert. And I believe those rules still apply, especially driving in Albuquerque. You have to watch where you're going, because there's some people that have an idea that they want to be in the spot that you thought you were going to be. As we watch and listen to the news reports, we hear of the horrific events and actions that harm individuals and large groups, and we hear too often of the effects of the evil, the corruption of people, the disregard for life of others, that they are performing horrible things to uninformed people, defenseless people. Bullies and brutes are all over the place. Corrupt-minded people surround us. And have you ever heard the officials tell you, please watch where you're at? Please be on the alert. Be aware of your surroundings. Be on the alert. And yet, no matter how hard we try sometimes, things still happen. And we see that evil still rears its ugly head. We need to pray for each other. And the wonderful thing is, the blessing is, that when we are in Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to us, who's in control? God's in control. And he's promised us there's something better to look forward to in spite of what this world offers. In our regular daily activities, we have warnings, we have alerts to guard us, to guide us, to keep us from harm, from inconvenience. For example, the house that we had back in Missouri, we bought a house back there, and they had, before we bought it, there was an addition added to the back of the house, a big family room. And to get into that room, you went through a sliding glass patio door, which was usually open. And in the early days, one day I was walking through the house with my mind on something else, headed to the family room, and boom! I flattened my nose and my ego all at once. And we decided, for my sake, we needed to put something on that nice, clear, beautiful glass that doesn't show anything, so that I would remember to watch where I'm going to see if the door was open or closed. None of you would do anything like that, would you? Anyway, just little things like that. You have to be alert to the situations around you. I learned the hard way, but it worked. I learned a lesson. One of the major concerns that people need to be aware of is their future, their eternity. We are called for, over and over again through Scripture, to watch ourselves, because this world is not all there is. God has more for us if we will just listen to Him. The majority of people ignore these warnings. And it's getting tougher and tougher in different areas in our culture. I was encouraged to see on our trip up to Idaho, one of the churches that a friend of mine preaches at is growing and flourishing. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people. And yet we look around also and see other churches that are struggling or non-existent anymore. And, you know, we've been through hardship here. But it's not the end. God still has more. Amen? He still has a purpose for us. Amen? And are you still alive? Amen. As long as we're alive and breathing, God has a purpose for us. And I anticipate that we will continue to grow with God's blessing if we are doing His work. If we are serving the Lord, He still has more for us. But this world is not all that we should look for. A growing church is not all we should look for. We are anticipating the return of somebody. One person, Jesus Christ, is coming back. He has promised that over and over again. And yet, through the process of talking about this, Jesus warns us to be on the alert. The God of life made a way for people to receive eternal life through obeying His commands. And the door of death has been overcome for those who will follow and walk in the steps of the King of life. Jesus Christ devoted His life to warning people about the future, to prepare for the future, to watch for His return. Our text is in the entire chapter of Mark chapter 13. We're not going to read all those verses today. We're just going to read a few of those verses. But listen in your own personal study, in your own reading of that chapter, of all of the strong language, 6 different times, Jesus warns people to prepare, to watch out from the first century until the end of time in this world. Over and over again, Jesus warns us, humanity, that this world is not all there is. To be on the alert, to watch out, and to be prepared to enter into eternity. And He wants us to enter into eternity with Him. These same warnings with some additional parables are also found in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And so a lot of this, if you will, in your study, read both gospel letters, the message, you will find a little bit more information for you from the Gospel of Matthew. But we're going to focus on Mark chapter 13, reading verses 2 through 4, and then we're going to skip down to verse 35 through 37, and then I will fill in some comments about the rest of the chapter during the message. Let's read these passages, starting in verse 2 through 4. And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning Him privately. "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" Now let's skip down to verses 35 through 37 at the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking. "Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigned to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." Before we go any further, would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, that you have called for us to be attentive, to be watchful, that you are returning, and we want to be prepared and ready when you come back. Not be surprised, not caught off guard, but to be ready. And that we would not be alone, but others would be joining us, to be joining you forever in the eternal home, the glories that you've promised us. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your promises, your blessing. your presence with us every single day. Father, help us to encourage one another as we press on day by day, even through the hardships, the trials, the heartaches. Let us always glorify you, always serve you, always represent you, so that when you come back, when Jesus comes back for us, we will be found faithful and true. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, your help, your scriptures, your spirit in us, so much more. The church family itself, let us be your people. Now strengthen us as we read and study and reflect upon your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just comment that there are all kinds of different interpretations of this chapter, these chapters, in addition to several other Old Testament prophecies and such. I do not agree with probably what is the most popular interpretation of these. The fact is, Jesus is coming back. Amen? And we need to be ready when he comes back. No matter what's going on in the world around us, we must be living for Jesus Christ. So bear with me. You may have some different ideas, different understandings of Scripture, but the focus is on honoring Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us these warnings, and they are for all Christians. He is speaking to a first century crowd. He's talking to the people that he's actually sitting with to begin with. So part of these warnings that he gives in this chapter are for them in their day, as well as for all Christians who follow until Jesus comes back. And sometimes that interpretation and understanding of those instructions end up with different interpretations of when all of these are fulfilled. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to cause problems, but the focus is to be ready when Jesus does return. Amen? In this passage, Jesus warned the first century Christian. The first century Christian. The disciples, in their questions, they were walking through the temple area. It was a beautiful structure, and they commented on that in that first verse that we did not read. Wow, look at all these beautiful buildings. They're wonderful, Jesus. Can you hear the conversation going as they're walking along through these buildings? And Jesus begins unfolding, revealing the future, not only for them, but also for all Christians, or for all people down through time. Jesus is concerned for the well-being of every person, including those people who were actually physically listening to him. Their personal safety hinged upon whether they were alert in their day. And that was important. Jesus prophesies the destruction of Jerusalem's temple in the process. He says, not one of these stones are going to be left on top of the other. The disciples were admiring the skills of the craftsmen and the beauty of the entire temple complex built out of white marble stone. The buildings gleamed on the hilltop. God's temple was a sight to be seen, and they were admiring it and complimenting it. With all the courtyards, the temple itself, the accompanying buildings, all of that had been planned by Herod the Great, a Roman leader who wanted to make inroads with the Jews. So he was in the process of rebuilding the temple. And it was a long, tedious process because he did not interfere with the worship. So all the construction was done to work around the worship time. The complex itself covered 26 acres. 26 acres. Can you think of that much land? We own about 8 or 9 acres here. That's three times the amount, the space that the temple complex was on. Buildings, long porticos, long porches, the columns, all the beautiful things that were constructed there, all in the worship of God. And this process had been going on, according to John chapter 2, for 46 years. And they weren't done yet. History records that they were building and building and building up, clear up into about 60 A.D. Another 30 years of construction was still to take place after what they were seeing right there. Jesus warned the Jews to prepare to leave Jerusalem. In verse 14 through 23, he explained that Daniel's prophecies, which are recorded in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and following, also chapters 11 and 12, would soon be fulfilled, and they must be on the alert to prepare at a moment's notice to run for their lives. Literally, to run for their lives. Don't turn around, pick up your coat. Don't run to your house to get anything out of the house. When you see the abomination come, you've got to flee, Jesus was telling them. Did it happen? Yes, it did. It's recorded in history. The Lord's prophecy was fulfilled in 70 A.D. It was during a Jewish rebellion against Rome's control of the area. The alert and watchful Christians of 70 A.D. remembered the warnings of Jesus, and they fled town as the Roman legions moved in, approaching the city of Jerusalem, surrounding the city in order to lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. The Jewish historian Josephus recorded that 1 million Jews were killed in Jerusalem once the Romans had the city surrounded. 1 million of them were enclosed in the city, unable to get out because the Roman legions had surrounded the city, and they were slaughtered. And Jesus was warning the first century Christians, you don't need to go through that. When you see the signs, get out of town, get out of the area, run for your lives. Another 95,000 Jews were enslaved, including Josephus, the guy who wrote the story, the guy who tells us about this time period. The city and the temple were totally flattened. All the beautiful structures built by a servant of Rome were totally leveled, ending all of the sacrifices, all of the rituals that the Jews were practicing in supposed worship of God. Even though they had rejected the Messiah, they were still going through the process of sacrifices on the altar and so on. And the process of the Romans leveling the city, of course, ended all of the sacrifices, all of the rituals. And I would just say that my understanding of the scripture, the temple will not be rebuilt. Period. Why? Because the perfect sacrifice has been given. Jesus. Jesus gave his life for how much sin? All sin. There's no more need for animal sacrifices because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. God's word prevailed as the new covenant of Christ was established. Jesus is the final perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We don't need a substitute animal anymore. A perfect Lamb of God, Son of God, paid for our sin. The first century Christian listened to the words of Jesus, and those who remembered it and obeyed it survived the invasion. The second point that I want to bring out from this passage is Jesus warned against false saviors. Jesus warned about false saviors. verse 5 and 6, verse 21 and 22. You know, Satan has been fighting the authority of God throughout all of the Scripture. It begins in the Garden of Eden, the record of his interaction with Adam and Eve. Oh, did God really mean what he said? Satan is always in there trying to cause us to dishonor what God says, to not believe what God says. He has been at it, and he will continue to be at it. We are warned in Ephesians to put on how much armor of God? The full armor of God for the fiery darts of Satan. Cast at us, the temptations, the effects, the efforts that Satan puts in to whittle away, degrade our faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. It continues on. It's been going on. Jesus warned about it. Jesus said there will even be false saviors who come along trying to pretend to be him. Because after all, how many of the Jewish leaders accepted Jesus when he did come? Very, 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 very few. We can only think of about two, maybe, of the Sanhedrin who put some faith in him. Jesus foretells the spread of the gospel worldwide. And he says, the gospel will reach every nation first before he comes back. In verse 10, the message would begin with the apostles. They were sent out as the first ambassadors, but it was not limited to them. They were to teach others in all the teachings of Christ, baptize them into Christ, and continue teaching them all that they had learned so that they would do what? Those disciples would go out and teach others everything that they had learned about Jesus Christ and bury them in the waters of baptism, raise them and continue teaching them so that they would do what? Repeat, 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 repeat. And now it's in our laps. What are we doing with the message of Jesus? It's our job now. The apostles aren't around anymore. It's up to us to obey those teachings, to go out and teach others, to bring them to faith in Christ, those who believe, bury them in the waters of baptism, continue teaching them so that they grow strong, so that they will continue the process. It hasn't been stopped, and it won't stop until Jesus comes again. The message began with the apostles, continued through the church. We have the book of Acts to tell us how the church began, how some of the first deacons were powerful preachers, Stephen, Philip, some others. The message continued and spread and spread, and now it is up to us to do our part. We continue the process. History to date records several false saviors who have been helped by Satan to deceive multitudes of people. And I'm probably going to raise some eyebrows here, but there are many Jews who tried to reestablish the Judaism in Jerusalem and tried to reestablish the fact that their salvation was through the temple. They totally rejected the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the redemption that comes in him. One of those individuals lived in AD 135. A guy named, I'm probably going to mutilate his name. His name was Bar Kochiba. He led a revolt against Rome. They regained possession of the territory of Jerusalem. And they attempted to rebuild the temple. And he had a large following, but the Romans came back in. And at that point, 580,000 Jews died. And at that point, Judea, the entire region, was devastated by the Roman legions, and the Jews were forbidden to enter the land again. So that was kind of the point of no return where the Jews were unable to get in. But have they stopped? No. In 1947, what happened? The nation of Israel was reestablished. I don't have a problem with that. But the idea behind it all is they're going to rebuild the temple to start their sacrifices again to cover sin, but they don't need to. It won't do a bit of good because Jesus has fulfilled God's plan. So I have kind of mixed emotions about some of the things that go on in the world. Can you imagine? The love for humanity must be great. And we are to love the Jews and try to share with them the gospel. But it's not limited to them. Every human being needs to hear the gospel that our sins have been paid for already with the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. What about some other false saviors? Moving to the Christian era, just in the last 2-3 centuries. In the 1800s, Joseph Smith developed the religion called Mormonism, Churches of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with his teachings promoting his beliefs above the teachings of Jesus Christ. And today, one of my biggest heartbreaks is to see people accepting Mormonism as Christianity. It's not. It is not. The teachings of Joseph Smith are elevated above Jesus Christ. Jesus is just considered a prophet, not the Savior. So there's a whole lot more there. Joseph Smith borrowed from the Bible in part of his storytelling. And they've had to go through and readjust and correct a lot of his mistakes. The Book of Mormon claims there's no mistakes in it. They've changed over 3,000 different things in it to try to get it up to par. They don't tell you about that. Anyway, Mormonism, millions of people are falling for it. And a lot of times their disciples come out of Bible teaching churches because it sounds so right and so good. But it's a lie from Satan. It's a lie from Satan. Another one that hit me back in the 70s. 1970s, Jim Jones proclaimed himself as a savior. And if you remember right, 900 of his deceived followers went to their death along with him. In April 1993, it brought about to public light, David Koresh and his little group, and they all died following Satan's deceit. There are many, many more. Our point isn't to list all of them, but the scripture is very clear that we need to watch out for false saviors. People who are claiming that they are the messenger from God, have the answers for life. No, your Bible tells you about the real Savior. Make sure you're reading your Bible and studying your word, comparing what people are saying with what Scripture says. Compare what I say with what Scripture says. Don't accept it just because I say it. Study your Scriptures. Know your Scriptures. As I said, we are passing through just a highlight of Mark chapter 13 and the passages out of Matthew. We're not dealing with all of the information that's there. Watch out for false saviors. The teachings of Jesus and his apostles are to be obeyed. They're not options. They must be obeyed. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love the Savior of the world, you will obey his words. You will obey his commands. The apostle Paul said, even if he came along and came up with a different idea, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and following, says, if I come along or an angel shows up and gives you a different message than what you first heard, that's what's recorded in God's word, let that person, that messenger, be cursed. And Paul puts himself in that category. He says, if I change my message, I am under God's judgment. And the same still holds true for us today. A third aspect that I want to deal with from Mark chapter 13 is the return of Christ will be seen by all people. Everybody will see it when Jesus comes back. Verse 26 and following, Jesus very specifically tells us that he will be seen along with his angels. Jesus foretold many tragic wars and catastrophes that are going to be happening around the world continually. And if you go back and look through history, that message has come true. There's been constant war. And a lot of times I hear people say, well, all the signs are telling me that Jesus is going to be coming back very soon. And somebody was telling me just here recently that somebody has put a timeline to it, that it's going to be happening in the next year or two. Jesus said, nobody knows. Only God the Father knows. And if these people claim that they know, they're liars. They're deceivers. There have been several groups, religious groups, who have put a timeline to events that they see, claiming that that Jesus was coming back on a certain date. And what happened? Jesus didn't come back. So that automatically puts them in the liar category. Are you going to trust liars? You better not. Trust Jesus, the Word of Truth. Trust Scripture. And we need to be alert. We need to be watching. And Jesus gives us some signs here to what to watch for. But the important thing is that we still live the Christian life. Live obedient to Jesus. The church at Thessalonica got the idea Jesus was coming back in the next couple years or so. And they sold all their businesses, all their possessions, and essentially they went out and sat on the hillside and twiddled their thumbs and said, Jesus is coming back. I want to be ready. And Paul writes the letters of Thessalonians and said, get back to work. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Yes, watch for Jesus, but you are still to be active in the world. We are the light of the world. Influence it. The salt of the earth. Influence it. Season this world. It needs it desperately. The return of Christ will be seen by all people. Jesus foretold all these wars, all these catastrophes that would come about in verses 7 through 8 before the end. It's still not the end of the world. Jesus said that Christians would be persecuted in verse 9. He was persecuted. To what point? To death. Now, he gave his life, but he worked the plan of salvation through the hatred of Satan's armies. They have seen, they have been since the beginning, these persecutions. They will continue. Groups like the Voice of the Martyrs are still active today, continually receiving reports of the daily slaughter of your brothers and sisters of faith. Christians are dying today. In Ethiopia right now, Christians are being put to death just for their faith. It's taking place. In the past, some of our government officials have intervened, spared their lives. Right now, that's not taking place. And remember, God is in control. He's watching, and He will reward His children. He is taking care of us beyond this world. We have nothing to fear. We see and experience the growing animosity towards Christ and His church here in our own nation, the United States of America. The news media, the entertainment industry, government officials are blatantly rejecting our Christian heritage. It breaks my heart when I hear of these statements by individuals. Our founding fathers would be turning over in their graves to see what's happening. But they warned us, our founding fathers warned us, if you don't keep a living faith in the Scriptures, the nation will go down the tubes. That's not the exact quote. Don't quote me on that, okay? But they basically said, if you don't keep studying the Scripture and obeying God, the laws won't work right. Because all of our laws are based on biblical principles of loving your neighbor, helping your neighbor. You remember when a lot of you, when you were little, you never had to lock your house? But now the heart of people is whatever isn't pinned down, even if it's pinned down, they'll steal it, take it. Some of you have had your lives threatened. And what are we to do as Christians? Show love. Live for Jesus. Stand for righteousness. Plead for righteousness to prevail. Encourage government leaders to do right. We have the privilege of choosing our leaders. I do believe we need to be involved. Some of you may argue, and there's a lot of people say, keep church out of government. I'm not saying putting church in government, but the principles that we live by should be leading our nation. That's the way our nation was founded. We are to be the influence of good in our world. Where are they going to get good if they don't see it in us as Christians? Is it going to grow on their earlobe or in their heart naturally? No, because Satan is the prince of this world. He's working behind the scenes. And we need to be working just as hard or harder in being the righteous light shining, calling for righteousness to prevail. Jesus and his angel armies will break through the sky for all to see. I think I skipped a point here. Let me back up to point D. The message of Jesus will be, did I get point C done? Where am I at? I haven't done point C yet. Let me get to point C. Jesus foretold the division of families over belief in him. Verse 12, Jesus said, some of your families, you're going to be fighting tooth and nail, and some of your families will turn you over to be killed just because you're a Christian. Don't be surprised if it happens in your family. We see it in other parts of the world. Those who reject Christ have only one leader, Satan. And they will follow Satan's ways. And he is the deceiver. He's the liar. He is the leader of death. So don't be surprised if it happens. Point D, the message of Jesus will be taught in every nation. Jesus told us that the gospel message will be spread throughout the whole world to every nation. And there are several church organizations today reporting that we're almost there. Hosanna Ministries here in Albuquerque, working on doing the audio Bibles. They are keeping track of how many nations don't have the gospel spread. Voice of the Martyrs is working on it. Pioneer Bible Translators. There's several different groups that are keeping track and trying to get the gospel to every culture, every nation, in their home language, in their mother tongue, and we're getting awful close to it. Jesus said the gospel would be spread to every nation, and it may have already been done by previous efforts of people that we have no track of, no record of. So Jesus might come back this afternoon. Amen? Yeah? Wow-hoo! That'd be great. Are we ready? Are we on the alert? It may be another 100 years. I don't know. Whatever the situation is, we must be ready and serving Jesus. Point E, Jesus and his angel armies will break through the sky for all to see when he returns. Verse 26, 27, he was very clear about that. It won't be a secret return. There won't be a secret society that all of a sudden disappears off the earth. No. We read, had Brother Ted read this morning from 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letters. Everybody's going to know about it when Jesus comes back. The heavens are going to split open. Eternal glory is going to shine through. Jesus is going to shout. There's going to be a trumpet blast. I mean, it's not going to be a secret. And on top of that, according to Paul's writings, all of the righteous dead, and I believe from when Jesus said in John chapter 6, that even the unrighteous souls will all of a sudden be floating up right before your eyes, before you get to start your journey. Now, there are different interpretations of that, but it's not going to be a secret, friends. But we better be ready. There's no second chances. No second options. Be ready. Be on the alert. Jesus told us. The glory of God, the will of God will be completed, and this earth and this universe, I fully believe, based on scriptures, will be no more. Jesus went to heaven. He said, I'm going to prepare a home for you. I'm looking for the perfect new home that doesn't have to be repaired, remade, get rid of the rot. I've got a brand new mansion based on what Jesus says, and you do too. And he's got one for everybody who will serve him forever. Jesus closed his teaching with a sincere call for people to be on the alert. Verse 31 through 33. Watch out. Heaven and earth is passing away. Be on the alert. Be ready when the Master comes again. Matthew's account has some parables there for you to reflect on. Remember to be fully prepared. He uses an example of a wedding party. Half the ladies only took a little bit of oil. The rest took extra oil. You've got to endure to the end. Serving Jesus. God is watching and waiting for our submission to him, but his patience against rebellious children will end, and he will put a stop to this world someday, and there won't be a second chance. Let's be ready. Amen? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Let's be ready. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to be ready. Help us to encourage one another. This world has its problems, and it always has, because Satan is working at destroying, at corrupting, of doing everything he can to mar your beauty, your perfection, your goodness. Let us be your people, a people of hope, of life, of promise, of strength, of truth, of righteousness. And I pray that the people around us will see and want to know more. Help us to be bold in our witness. You promised to give us the right words at the right time to say for your glory. Let us be your people. We thank you for allowing us to be your people. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing some more songs.